G'day, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today. Well, it's a new season, it's a new beginning, it's December. I like new things. Like every day is a new thing. But this is a new month. It's a new time for us to reset what we're looking at. And this December is such a good month. There's so much ahead for us. And either you groan at the thought of December, oh, the things I've got to get through, or you go, this is so much fun. In fact, I think we're on track to put up our Christmas tree today. I think we're actually going to do it. It's Christmas. You know, so often we kind of forget or miss out, but this year, it's time. But it's that anticipation, isn't it? Christmas is about the mysteries and the unknowns and the little whispers of what you might buy someone, or the secret Santas that go on at work, or the, you know, it's about the kind of, there's a bit of intrigue and a mystery about it. And even though shops get it way too early, you know, you walk into shops and there's something in the air. It's called Christmas. And the secret here that we're going to talk about all month is the secret that God gave us at Christmas. And somehow I'd love you to try and undo all the thinking you've done around Christmas. What if you never knew the story of Jesus? What if you lived before Jesus was actually born? I wonder, would you have hints of what was about to be unraveled? Would you have a sense of what it would be like? That's what this secret is all about. That's the theme for our month, the exploring, unraveling what's under the tree for us this December. And Christmas services will be awfully fun, by the way. Two services, Christmas Eve and Christmas morning. Same services, come to one of each. But we want to really celebrate this Christmas. And so this theme is building the anticipation, piecing together the why of Jesus. How come we needed to have this deal with the manger and the angels and the wise kings and good king, what was his name, Wenceslas? I think he was later. Let's open up the Word of God. Ephesians 1, verse 6, verse 3 to 6. It says this: how blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He is the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and He takes us to the high places of blessing in Him. Long before, this is the key for us this morning, long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind and settled us as the focus of His love, to be made holy and whole by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. And what pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. What a verse in the Message translation. I want to look today at what was planned long, long ago, because it says here that long, long ago, he before He laid down earth's foundations, before He created everything, He had us in mind. That's amazing. Amazing. He knew of you. You're not an accident. You're not just someone who's randomly here by some cause of history or parentage or grandparentage or whatever. You are here today because of God's design. The scriptures are just full of the idea that God plans and purposes things. So that's good news. You, every single person on the planet has a purpose and a destiny. And that was thought about before the world was created. I'm going to take you on a journey this morning of some things that should blow your mind about how awesome and how creative God is. And it starts in the beginning. We need a stage for this secret. It's like the beginning of a play or the start of an orchestra, or the first bit of a movie when you sit down and all the ads disappear and that opening scene. You know, don't you love the opening scene of a movie? And you're kind of trying to work out what is that person or that image or that thing. It's like when the orchestra tunes up and the sound and what's about to be played on this stage, or the first act of a play where the first line comes out. That's what we're looking at this morning. It's the dawning of creation, what's about to unfold for this grand story. And we're going to go back to the beginning, because in the beginning, Genesis 1, verse 1, God created the heavens and the earth. And we could park here for a long, long time, but 3 points here. God created heavens and earth. Done. Who did it? God did it. Who created everything? God made everything. It's not no accident, not just some kind of cosmic collision or stars that aligned somehow. No, God purposely created, intentionally formed everything. He is the masterpiece behind everything. I don't know how you have the faith to believe that this was some accident. That requires huge faith to me. To think that this is just happened somehow. When you start to look into what we're about to look into today, you have to see the design of an almighty creator. It's amazing. So God created, that means created out of nothing. So to create something in our terms, we're always making things out of something. So if you make carpentry or something, you're always turning something into something else, right? Well, God, when he created something out of nothing. It's different. He didn't recreate things. He was the source of all things. It says elsewhere in the scriptures, he created by the word of his mouth. He spoke and it became life and being. We are serving an almighty God. So the first thing he created, there's six things I'm going to talk about this morning. Independent of what you believe about the length of time, days, seasons, months, I don't know. I wasn't there. I can piece together all the different arguments. But the key thing is that he did it, that God created. So let's look at what he actually created. In verse 3 of Genesis 1, God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Perhaps it was a big bang. I don't know. But there was light. It was beautiful light. Light is so underrated. We just turn the switch and it's on. We just go outside and yeah, the sun's up today. But what if there was a world without light? If you've been into a dark cave and you can't see anything, like the pitch black, like light is really, really powerful. Light permeates our everyday existence. Light allows us to see beauty, color, life in full color. Can you imagine if we didn't have the colors? Life in black and white, like a dog apparently only sees in black and white, or like a black and white TV. Anybody remember those? Yeah, a few hands. When I was a boy, we didn't even have television. Light, we use light for laser surgery. Hey, Dan. Lasers, it's light. It uses light. It uses all kinds of things. Even weapons are being produced now that you can zap people with light things. You know, light is kind of quick too. It travels at 300,000 kilometers per second. That's a lot. 300,000 kilometers per second. So light, God created light. He gave us that ability to see, but also as a tool for us to work with. He then created the atmosphere. In verse 6, it says, "Then God said, 'Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate these waters from the other waters.'" In other words, move out the waters below from the waters above, and he creates the atmosphere. Again, a fairly underrated, underthought about aspect of our world, until you don't have it. The atmosphere. It's like a blanket, a thermal blanket around our world. Our world should be really, really cold this far from the sun. But it's not. We have what we call the greenhouse effect. It's there. It helps us to keep warm. It's this layer of gases and all the gases that we need, from oxygen to nitrogen to carbon dioxide, the things that our world needs to function with. God created those things in this atmosphere. And he separates it out so that there's a sky above and land and sea below. And then he says there's earth and land and sea boundaries. He said, let the waters below the heavens be gathered into one place and let the dry land appear. And it was so. You see how he does it? He says, let there be. And it was so. It's like creation obeys the voice of God. And these things form. And so now we start to see land forms and water forms. And I'm fascinated by the design of these countries. Like, it's so interesting that the different shapes and sizes and heights and depths of the oceans, like 11 kilometers deep is the Mariana Trench. This world is amazing. There's no same place, you know. Countries are very different. Oceans are different. God in his creativity made this whole thing world. He tilted it to have seasons and he gave us the solar and the cool and the warm. And you could study this and preach on it for ages. But he defined the boundaries of the land and the sea. He said, that's where the sea goes and that's where the land goes. And it was so. He said, that was it. And then the fun really starts. He's got the basics there. He says, blank earth. What can we do with this? And he said this in verse 11. God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seeds, and fruit trees of the earth bearing fruit after their kind with seed in them so they can reproduce. Unique plants like this one. Yeah. It's massive. Have you seen this in real life? Looks like that big. And if you... All right. They're little. They're really small. But God's creativity, like to design the Venus flytrap. I mean, what was he thinking? Like, let's have some fun with some flies. What's more, there are 390,900 plants, species, separate species known to science. Almost 400,000 different types of these things. Can you imagine trying to invent these things? Like if you had a blank piece of paper or 400,000 blank pieces of paper, can you imagine trying to just, green, yeah, colors, shapes, sizes? Like God designed this. This is the point. It just didn't happen. God thought about the Venus flytrap and all the jungle plants and everything else. And I found this interesting stat. There, in 2015, there were 2,034 species of plants discovered that we'd never known about. Just recently, in 1 year. God, for how long has these things been hidden? Underground or in secret forests? Been hiding away, like the Wollemi pine not so long ago. Wow, we've never seen this plant before. God's creativity. And then, it's like God looked up and thought, oh, black sky. Should do something about that. He said, let there be light in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons, for days and years. Now, I know in our scientific world, we kind of, who knows how it actually worked. But the point is, again, that God designed this and God made this thing. This is the Milky Way galaxy. This is our home. Probably seen pictures of little dots on the outer edge. It says Earth is, it's like about here. So one of these outer spirals. You don't want to be too close because in the middle of it is a big black hole. It's about, I think it's 3,000 billion somethings across. It's big. That's it. 3,000 times the size of our sun. It's this black hole. It sucks everything into it. Spins around this void. It's amazing. Like in this galaxy, which is the bit you see, if you look at it at nighttime, it's just a strip across the sky. That's what we see, the Milky Way galaxy. There's 200 billion stars in the Milky Way galaxy. 200 billion. Have you ever counted to 200 billion? There's more stars here than on the sand of all the sea. The sand, the sea of all the beaches. The sand grains of all the beaches. Yeah. Yes. Amen. But not only that, Milky Way galaxy is one of supposed 100 billion galaxies. We can't even fly out of our solar system. Let alone, I mean, it's insane. Our sun is the tiniest prick on here of 200 billion of these little pricks. And then there's 100 billion of these. And we can't even get out of our own little prick. Like, this thing is amazing. This is what God said about building when he thought about you. See? You are, before this was made, God's thinking about you. He's building a stage. He's building a platform. And then he looked at the ocean. I thought, empty. He looked at the sky. Let me do something about that. And then he said in verse 20, let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures and let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens. There are 10,000 species of birds, including the Vogelgop superb bird of paradise. This thing is funny. God thought of this and made it. He did. Imagine the day that he thought, today's the day I'm going to make the Vogelkop superb bird of paradise. Let's have some fun with this one. I've seen a YouTube video of this. I have to watch. Go and find it. It's very funny. Let me tell you about this. This is obviously a mating dance. And guys, listen up for some tips here. After meticulously preparing a dance floor and even scrubbing the dirt or branch smooth with leaves to be clean, the male first attracts a female with a distinctive loud call. After the curious female approaches, his folded black feather cape and blue-green breast shield springs upwards and spreads symmetrically around his head, instantly transforming the frontal view of the bird into a spectacular ellipse-shaped creature that rhythmically snaps its tail against each other whilst hopping in frantic circles around the female. Try it, gents. Word of warning, the average female rejects 15 to 20 potential suitors before consenting. So you've got to get this dance thing right. But it's funny. It really does. When this thing's dancing, it looks like a UFO that's just jumping up and down. It's the cleaning. They like the cleaning. God made that. God thought about that, along with 10,000 other species. And then there's the fish. There's 33,000 species of fish, including, of course, the anglerfish. There's 168 species of this one. They're actually not that big. They're little. But they've got the light on the front that's supposed to attract the prey, like Nemo. There's one in Nemo. Horrified. Kids traumatized forever. They've all gone. And then there were land animals. God said, let the earth bring forth, verse 24, living creatures after their kind, cattle and creeping things and beasts of the earth after their kind. And he filled the earth with beautiful animals, including this one, the pus moth caterpillar, who actually has pus in his mouth. This one's interesting. He's cute. He's cute. Apparently he's supposed to scare off people, and then if they're not scared off, he's got venom, formic acid, out of the two horns in his back that he can spray people with. God thought of this one too. But there are 8.7 million land species. So how long did it take God to design these things? No wonder the universe is just, the detail and the grandeur of creation. But what I love about this verse in Ephesians, it's like he's thought about us and then set about creating the stage and the platform for us. Like this is actually the place that he's given us to dwell. While all this is grand and we love animals, we look after, we steward things, actually this platform is for you and I. It's crazy, isn't it? Because God sent humanity in the centerpiece of all of this to steward and care for this world. You've got to understand from this your own value, your own self-worth because of what God has made, among other things. But I want you to picture, I remember before we had kids and we knew that we were having a child. We set about creating a home for them. And it was very simple. We didn't have a lot and didn't need a lot. That was a good day. And we built a little cot. There's a picture of me working on this cot. It was actually a secondhand recycled cot that I think Ro had as she was a kid in the family. Now I remember I want to create something really nice for my kids. And so I set about restoring this, I think it was Tasmanian oak, and sanded it all back and redid it and formed it, and it had fitted new things to it. I don't know what that thing is next to me. But see, there's that sense of I want to create something nice for my family that's to come. We've thought about this family. We're looking forward to the kids, but let's get this all beautiful and nice and ready. The kid wouldn't notice probably, you know, what they slept in really. But mum and dad, let's make it really nice, a bit of nesting going on there. And John 1 says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, because at the very beginning, before the beginning, was God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Together, relationships, right? So it's like he's there and he's getting this place ready to invite other people into his relationship. So the world is highly relational. It's highly purposed. But there's a problem. Because before the world was created, something's gone wrong. Something's happened. Let me read to you from Genesis 3:1. There was evil lurking in the garden. Before this was created, something went wrong. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from the tree of the garden?" The entrance of evil starts to undermine what God has pulled in. It starts to take the story into a different way. Beautiful, grand, elaborate, but yet there's a twist. Somehow our story has taken a turn for the worse. And when we unpack that, we actually understand from the scriptures that evil was there before the world was created. And there's some scriptures that talk about that. I won't unpack them this morning, but if you want to explore that, Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14 particularly, and parts of Revelation, talk about the fall of Satan from heaven. I'm going to read you part of a story by John Eldridge that sums it all up. It's taking those two verses. He says that evil was lurking in that garden. The mighty angel had once been glorious as well, more glorious than we. He was, if you recall, captain of the Lord's armies. This is Satan. Beautiful and powerful beyond compare. But he rebelled against the Creator. He led a great battle against the forces of heaven and was cast down, banished but not destroyed. He waited in the shadows for an opportunity to take his revenge. You must understand, the evil one hates God and hates anything that reminds him of the glory of God, wherever it exists. Unable to overthrow the mighty one, he turned his sights on those who bore his image. Satan came into the garden and whispered to Adam and Eve, and in them to all of us, "You cannot trust the heart of God. He's holding out on you. You've got to take matters into your own hand. You have to seize control." And he sowed the seed of mistrust into our hearts. And so we have what I've called the paradox of paradise. That in paradise, there's evil lurking in the garden. And so what was intended to be so beautiful has a limp and a tilt inside of it. It's like the start of the play where everything's ready to go and one of the sets falls down. Or the start of a movie and the projector stops. You see, the start of someone's life and things happen, the start of a marriage and it's quite happened. You have a new job and it looks great, but you see, everything that begins in the middle of that is the potential for failure and bad. And this is the source. This is why. We shouldn't be surprised at it. And there's a reason for it. With every good plan, every new beginning, and every good intention, there are obstacles. And it's into this context that people are born. And my question to God has often been, why? Ever asked that question? Wouldn't it be so much easier? Shouldn't God design a world without evil? Like, shouldn't we have the capacity to overcome and live perfect lives here? Why is there so much pain, so much turmoil? Even in good circumstances, there's always there's a sting in the tail, isn't there? Sometimes it's just this. That's the context of our world. It's the reality. And I think that perfection is eclipsed by love. I think love is higher than perfection. We want things perfect. But love is more important than perfection. Or rather, love provides a context. You see, every true love story has an obstacle. Every good movie that's a romantic, you know, all the romantic sitcoms, rom-coms, there's always a gap. It's always a he and a she, and they're often in different cities or different countries or different time zones or something, different cultural contexts. And somehow they meet in some bookshop, fall in love. But then there's a gap to overcome, isn't there? She has to go to work in London and he's in New York. He lives in a different time, you know, he's time traveled to this point. Or there's always an issue. She's from a poor background and he's a king, you know. How are they going to overcome it all? That's why we love the stories of, you know, just romantic stories where there's something that's overcome. That's the point. And I said Shrek in the first service and people laugh, but I think it's a great love story. People from different backgrounds. The donkey, I wish he had got it. Actually, he did get married, didn't he, after Shrek 2, 3. The dragon. See, it is a great love story. Obstacles is the battle with evil. True love flourishes in adversity. True love requires adversity almost. You see? If there's nothing to overcome, then love is weak and insipid. What movie do you watch that nothing happens? Like they just meet and they get married and that's it. Like love requires adversity because in adversity, true love triumphs. Because love requires sacrifice, forgiveness, mercy, kindness. If there's nothing to be kind to, then you can't have kindness. If there's no one to forgive, then how can you be a forgiving person? So you look at all these beautiful things, fruits of the Spirit, that flow, they flow out of adversity. And so somehow in God's great grand design, we have this beauty, but we have imperfection. And the two aren't mutually exclusive. They work off each other. But this is the stage that we live in. This is the platform that we're born into. And the secret is that we'll uncover, if you don't already know at the end, we'll uncover how God reconnects and brings it all home from this kind of mixed beginning. Because there are promises throughout Scripture, promises for greatness. And so we get into Genesis 6, 5, just six chapters into the Bible. It's like this much of the Bible. And we see how tragic the whole thing has become. It says, the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. That was God's summation of humanity. Every inclination, the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. That's pretty strong. That's where humanity had got to, just six chapters into the story. And in Romans 3:23, we're reminded that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. somehow people have spiraled in this context downwards. There is a great need for rescue, isn't there? But what we're going to look at over the month is how God starts to sow a seed. He starts to bring a message. He's got a plan that's already been worked out before this. It's not like this happened and God goes, my goodness, how did that happen? No, no, no. His plan was from the beginning, this secret plan that would be unfolding to bridge the gap between God and people. There is a rescue plan coming, because it says in Ephesians 1:4 in the Message, long before he laid down earth's foundations, he had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of his love, to be made holy and whole by his love. Long ago, he decided to adopt us into his family. This plan in Jesus has been going for a long time, but we're now seeing it unfold. Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.